Good morning, good morning. Isn't that exciting to see people go into the waters of baptism? Can we just thank the Lord one more time? So grateful. I am so exciting. By the way, we've cleaned the water. It's chlorinated. We've sprayed everything, so it's super safe. We have about three times that number of people being baptized at 11. A lot of people coming. So I just want you to pray for the people who are saying yes in this next service as well. And again, we're going to baptize on Wednesday night at First Wednesday. So if you're ready, maybe you weren't ready this morning, but you say, hey, I didn't have my family, my friends with me. Show up this Wednesday night at First Wednesday, and we will baptize you this coming Wednesday. All right? All right. I'm ready to preach, so sit down. All right. Good to have you. Welcome.
That's the best sermon bumper we've ever done.
John said that was the best sermon bumper we've ever had. I'm ready to preach, so sit down. I think we'll just use that every week. Saves a lot of time. I mean, let's just get to the point here, right? Anyway, welcome everybody. If this is your first Sunday at New Life, we are honored that you're with us. Thank you for being a part. If you're watching online on Facebook or YouTube or newlifechurch.org, we're so grateful. Can we say a big shout out to our online audience? Welcome. There are still a lot of people who are compromised, they feel vulnerable, and they're just not able to come into a public gathering yet. We totally understand that. We were glad that you've joined us online. And we're broadcasting every Sunday, I don't know if you know this, but on KRDO. So if you want to go home and record that, that's at 10 o'clock. That's a 10 o'clock message, so 9 a.m., 11 a.m. online, 10 o'clock on KRDO. All right, turn in your Bible to Revelation 10 and Revelation 11. While you're turning there, again, reminder, this Wednesday night is First Wednesday, 6:30. It's once a month, first Wednesday of every month. We gather, we worship, we pray, we fill this place with the voice of the saints praying and calling out, and that this Wednesday night we're going to have, as a part of that, water baptism. So if you want to be a part of that, come gather with us, all right? Revelation 10, Revelation 11. I'm going to talk to you this morning about eating scrolls and two witnesses. This is Revelation 10 and Revelation 11. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these words today. Thank you for changed lives. Thank you for the Spirit that's moving among us. Thank you that you love us, that you choose to dwell with us, that you're right here in the room with us, that you're hovering around us. Now give us eyes to see. Give us a holy imagination. Let us hear these scriptures. Let us, Lord, listen to them and obey them. Let them go deep into our souls. And we ask it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Revelation takes us on this long journey from a prison island, but we're going to end up in paradise. This is where we are. We're in the in-between space right now. We start out on the prison island. John has been sentenced to exile, and then he begins to tell us, he gets a peek behind the scenes. God opens up the heavens, invites him into the door of heaven. And John's eyes are open to the revelation, to the apocalypse of what has been going on now since the beginning of time. And John shows us these things. And these letters were sent back to seven churches that he had responsibility for. And these seven churches heard this, and their hearts came alive. They found new hope, new courage to keep doing the work that they were called to do. But it's easy to lose interest in the slow, patient work of God's salvation. I want you to remind you that God has a plan to save the world, even when the world is crumbling. But it's easy sometimes to lose interest. Put that back on the screen. I want you to really catch this today, okay? It's easy sometimes to lose interest in the slow, patient work of God's salvation. And this is where I want us, which is where we find ourselves right now in the Revelation story. I'm like you. Why can't God just get to the bottom line? Why can't he just fix all the problems? Why can't he speed it up a bit? He has the power. He has the authority. Why is he taking so long? For those of you that follow me on social media, I've kind of gotten fascinated with smoking meat right now. Everything that is dead in my house has been smoked. Everything. I don't know if you know this, but your pastor smokes meat. I said that the other day. Your pastor's really into smoking. This lady looked at me really strange. I said, meat. I'm smoking everything. And this morning, in fact, I was up very early, and I have found this recipe. I don't want to distract you with this, all right? But I have some really good chicken wings being smoked right now, and it's going to take 6 or 7 hours for them to get ready. Now, there is a quicker way to smoke this. There's a quicker way to prepare this meat, but there's just not a better way. And see, what we want from God is the quick way, but it's not the best way. And Revelation doesn't show us the quick way. Revelation shows us the slow and good way. And this is what happens when we read this story. So don't get discouraged for the next several weeks, because remember, I've given you permission. If you want to go ahead and read ahead to Revelation 21 and 22, feel free to do that. But we're on a slow, methodical path to God fixing this mess. And that's where I wanted you to be encouraged. So Revelation 10, verse 8 is where we're going to pick up this morning. And it says, "Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more." Underline that. I want you to remind you today that God doesn't stop speaking. He continues to speak to us. God's not finished speaking to anyone in this room, by the way. He may have spoken to you in the past. He wants to speak to you again. And he says, "Go and take the scroll." Now listen to this absurd thing that God's about to tell him to do. He says, "Go take the scroll," a literal scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. Can you just imagine John trying to describe this to the people in the first century? There's an angel with 1 foot in the ocean, 1 foot on the land. He's holding the scroll. "Go eat that scroll." So I went to the angel like the rest of us would do. We would go to the angel and take the scroll, right? And he went to the angel, asked him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, "Take it and eat it." And we're not talking about chicken wings here. We're talking about a scroll. You don't eat scrolls. It says, "Take it, take these words, take this revelation, and eat it." And listen to what he says. "It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." Sort of like eating Taco Bell at midnight. It tastes really, really good for about 10 minutes. That's pretty funny now. That's really funny. Said, "It tastes sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour." Verse 11, "Then I was told, you must prophesy again." Everyone say the word again. "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings." That's right out of Jeremiah chapter 1. That's the exact language that the prophet Jeremiah used in Jeremiah 1. And then this is a reminder to us that there was another story in the Bible about a prophet having to eat scrolls. Ezekiel 3 says, "He said to me, son of man, eat what is before you, eat this scroll, and then go and speak to the people." Now, pause here just for a moment. Ezekiel is told to eat a scroll and go be a witness. Go tell people that were far away from God what he had just consumed and what he had just digested. So I opened my mouth. He gave me the scroll to eat. And then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you. Fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. John's using the story of Ezekiel to set us up for what is next. You see, when all of us came to Christ, I don't know if you know what happened today, but that was what happened. I don't know every story of every person that went in those waters, but I tell you, their story probably was all very familiar, very similar. I bet their stories seemed a lot very similar. They were away from the Lord. Something happened. They received the word like honey. They received the good news. They believed it, and they went into the waters of baptism. That's my story, and that's probably your story. And we all receive the word when we first hear about extravagant grace. When we first hear about forgiveness, we all receive the word like sweet honey. It's such good news. When we all discover that we can't save ourselves and we discover that Christ has already done all the work for us and all we have to do is say yes, that is like sweet honey to our soul. So what is the bitterness that John's talking about? What is this bitterness? Why does it say, eat it like honey, and when it gets to your stomach, it's going to be sour? The bitterness is the rejection all of us will experience when we share these truths. We're going to read your story in just a moment out of Revelation 11 about two witnesses that showed up. and start just sharing this truth. We're going to show you in just a moment what happened to them. The bitterness is the rejection all of us will experience when we share the truth. Every great leader in Scripture has received a word from God only to be rejected when they speak it to others. This happens for all of us. We receive it with good news and grace. We're excited. This is amazing. And suddenly we begin to share it with the people who aren't ready to hear it. There are people in the world that need to hear the good news, but they're not ready to hear the good news. And the good news is only meant for people who know they are sinners. When you don't know that you're a sinner, when you don't know you violated God, sometimes the good news actually sounds pretty offensive. And people, when they are offended, will reject it. You see, we believe that the only barrier between a gracious God and a lost world is clear communication. Someone needs to tell them. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us this. In fact, the Bible says, oftentimes when you tell people good news, they're not going to believe it. It's just not a matter of telling people. That's why witnessing, that's why salvation is a long relational process in many cases. Just telling them the gospel is not enough. You have to live it out in front of them many times. We have to come alongside the poor. We have to come alongside those who are lost. I got accused this week. I actually laughed out loud. Someone on my Facebook page, they were very unkind. They said, "You're just cozying up to liberals." I thought, yeah, that's what Jesus did. They were saying that you're cozying up to people that don't believe like us. Well, Jesus got accused too of hanging out with sinners at parties. So if I'm getting accused of what Jesus was being accused of, yeah, I'm hanging out with sinners. If you want to know what your pastor is trying to do when he's not up here, I'm trying to cozy up to people who don't know Jesus. You're right about that. I'm trying to get super involved in the lives of people who are lost. Not that all liberals are lost, but whatever you believe, I'm fine with that. Look at verse 11. He says, "John, you must prophesy again. Don't give up," he says. "John, remember, you prophesied once. They rejected you. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to prophesy again. Go do it again and again. And again, and again, until something breaks through in the lives of people." Breaking through, that's the Spirit's work. Our responsibility is to be a witness. I am not responsible for the results. I am responsible to be obedient, to be faithful, to be kind, to be nice. Let me tell you how to be good at following Jesus. Be nice. Smile. Quit being angry. Your anger is not winning people to Jesus. Your anger is not winning people to Jesus. It's by the kindness of the Lord that we find salvation. So let's skip ahead and find out what happens to these two witnesses. Revelation 11 tells us a story, the very next chapter, of two men appearing. Now, for those of you that believe that Revelation is a book of predictions, some of this might be a prediction that these two men are going to show up at some point in the world and they're going to begin witnessing to those who are far away. But something remarkable, it says about 3.5 years, these men, 1,260 days is what the scripture says, that they're going to be on the earth prophesying. A lot of people believe this is a type and shadow of a Moses and Elijah. Yeah, thank you very much. By the way, this is Daniel Grothy's birthday. Can we just say happy birthday to Daniel Grothy? Thank you. I can always count him to fill in the words when my old mind breaks down. But these two witnesses show up, Revelation 11, verse 7, and they begin to prophesy and declare the good news. But it's not received very well. In fact, they are violently murdered on the streets. Listen to this. "Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them." Now, these are people that are trying to share good news with a world that's broken and hurting. "And for 3.5, their bodies will lie in the public square of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified." So he's really talking about Jerusalem. "And for 3.5 days, Some from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. Not only are they going to kill them, they're going to mock them and insult them and humiliate them. And the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. Now, let's stop for a moment. Is this evil? This is evil. Gloating over the death of your enemies is evil. Gloating, celebrating the demise of people not like you is not godly. John's reminding us that when we gloat, gloating is not a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering is, to name a few. This reminds us in Revelation 11 that it's both difficult and dangerous to tell the truth. New Life Church, listen very carefully to your pastor. It's going to become more difficult and in some cases more dangerous in the days ahead to speak truth. In fact, I believe across the world we're seeing this right now. This spirit of the abyss has already been released on the earth. We're seeing martyrs. We're seeing people slain for the gospel in unprecedented ways right now across the world. It's not happening in America necessarily, but around the world, missionaries around the world will tell you this is a dangerous moment right now to believe in the resurrected Christ. And a martyr is someone who loses their life for telling the truth. Telling the truth may sound simple and easy, but it's difficult and dangerous. So with all that in mind, what really keeps us from witnessing? What keeps us, because we have a mandate to go be witnesses. Do you know what Jesus said to his disciples outside the city gates in Acts chapter 1? He says, I am now going to ascend into heaven. I want you to go back into the city and wait for me. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be my, say it with me, witnesses. Well, a group of people believed that. They went into the upper room and sat there and waited on the Lord. The power of God fell upon them. Cloven tongues of fire appeared upon their head. Rushing mighty winds filled the room. And from that moment on, the Spirit lit the flame of the church. And the church, in boldness, stepped out on that ledge. Peter stepped out, preached the good news to a group of people who didn't really want to hear it, who had actually already threatened to kill him. Well, to his surprise, several hundred, if not a few thousand people said yes and started following God. And then they were scattered throughout Asia and throughout the Mediterranean area, and churches began to be birthed. Why? Because a group of people were willing to witness. Every person that went into the waters of baptism today, you know why they said yes to the Lord? Because someone told them. I'm here today as your pastor, following the way of Jesus the best I know how, because someone told me. I didn't know. Someone told me, and someone was patient with me. They just didn't hand me a tract fake, looking like a fake $100 bill, you know? Don't do that. Someone was patient with me. Someone walked with me. Someone answered my questions. Someone listened to my question. They prayed for me and waited patiently for the slow work of the Spirit to begin to work in my heart. And then in a burst, in a miracle, I said yes to Christ in August of 1988, and I've never looked back. So what keeps us from witnessing? The first thing is that we fear rejection. We fear the very thing that we read about in Revelation 11. We fear persecution. We fear rejection. And none of us like to be rejected. I want to remind you that every witness in the Bible was rejected, including our Savior. Jesus suffered the ultimate rejection. I have come to bring good news to you, Israel. I have come to bring good news to you, people of God. And they responded by beating him within an inch of his life, taking his body outside the city gates and crucifying him there in front of his mother and a bunch of people. Yes, you're going to be rejected. I wish I had better news for you. No, every time you witness, you're going to see a miracle. That's not what the Bible teaches. But we have a responsibility to be a witness. Or number two, we don't feel prepared maybe. Maybe we just don't. What if we get tripped up? What if we don't know whether or not Adam really had a belly button? I don't know. Think about that for a moment, because I've actually been asked that recently. So I want to tell you about something that we do here at New Life Church to prepare you for this, okay? You may not be aware of this, but we have a course here that we call Alpha. It's been going on for 30 years around the world. It is proven. If you have people in your life who are asking you troubling questions, they're wrestling with their faith, and maybe you don't know how to answer it. Maybe you have a child, a neighbor, a coworker, and they're asking you these complicated questions. We have a proven class. And listen, I can tell you some unbelievable stories of people who are coming into that class as militant atheists and being baptized and followed. Some of them are sitting in this room right now who came into Alpha, militant atheists, and 8 weeks later, they're wanting to be baptized and being filled with the Spirit. They're having salvation experiences. Listen, you don't have to have all the answers. All you have to do is be able to listen. In fact, most of the time when you get asked those kinds of questions, you just need to keep asking them questions, leading them and guiding them. So Alpha is going on right now. If you want to be a part, if you want to host a table, if you want to learn how to have these conversations, we can prepare you for this. You don't have to feel ill-equipped. That's a part of our mission as a church, is to help you go make disciples. So if you don't feel prepared, I got good news for you. I can help prepare you. Here's the third thing. We don't think it's our responsibility. It is our responsibility. No, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Every generation must hear and believe the good news. It's our responsibility. This is my moment. I have some time left. But at some point, I'm going to hand the baton over to someone else, and then they will run the race that's set before them. But I am going to run my race until I get to the finish line. And my responsibility is to declare the truth, to be kind, in love, share people the good news of the gospel, that Christ has come to save us, to redeem us, to restore us. It is by Christ and Christ alone that we can find a relationship with God. I'm going to declare that with all of my heart, mind, and soul for the rest of my life, because it's my responsibility. And our witness should sound like our prayers, by the way. This is how you can start. Maybe you don't know how to do that. Here's how you do it. Start praying for people. And pray, when we pray, compassionate and kind prayers for people not like us, for people that you don't agree with, when you begin to pray kind and compassionate prayers, you begin to feel compassion and kindness toward them, and your witness will begin to sound like your prayers. Let me tell you a story of a man named Mehmet. In 1981, Pope John Paul II, he was the pope at the time, was in an open-air Jeep, and he was going through St. Peter's Square in Rome, waving crowds of people, throngs of people. And he was reaching out and shaking hands, and he had some security around him, but it was open air. He was wide open in the middle of the crowd. And a guy named Mehmet, a Turkish terrorist in 1981, walked up to him, got close enough to him, and shot him four times with a handgun, right in his abdomen. And Pope John Paul II at the time was an elderly man. And he took four rounds right in his stomach in 1981. And the doctors were stunned that he didn't bleed out right there in the van. But somehow, the doctors got the bleeding stopped, got him to a hospital. And after several weeks of recovery, Pope John Paul II miraculously recovered. And as he was leaving the hospital, as he was going back to continue his recuperation, he said, I want to go by and I want to meet the man who shot me. So here's this. Let me show you a photo here. This is a photo of Pope John Paul II sitting in the prison cell with the guy who had just put four rounds in his abdomen. Now, why I can show you some more photos, because after a long conversation, what they were saying to one another is not certain. But toward the end of this, Pope John Paul II holds up Mehmet's hands and starts kissing his hands. The hands that shot him, he kisses his hands and blesses him. Mehmet then takes Pope's hand, Pope John Paul II's hand, kisses his hand, tells him, I'm sorry. Something remarkable happened in that jail cell, because Pope John Paul II had the power to destroy this guy. Instead, Pope John Paul II went and witnessed to this guy. Now, later on, Pope John Paul II died, and in the same square where he was shot, thousands of people came to St. Peter's Square and brought flowers and memorials to that to remember this man's death. Mehmet and his family showed up that day to bring their flowers. They had all become friends of the Pope. Many of Mehmet's family had become believers, including Mehmet. And here's a photo on the day that they showed up. This is Mehmet holding up the Bible, saying to everyone, Pope John Paul II showed me a better way. I'm no longer a terrorist. I'm a believer. I'm a follower. This is him years later holding up the scriptures. New Life Church, we will never reach people that we fear or hate. If you're afraid of them, you'll never reach them. If you hate them, you'll never love them. You'll never bring them good news. If you despise their politics, you will despise their souls at some point. Listen, we can have our disagreements. We can have our candid arguments. But at the end of the day, I'm not called to win people to a political party. I'm called to win people to a kingdom that has no end. And so are you. God has always intended to save us, not destroy us. This is the story of Revelation. And we're going to walk through. Next Sunday, we're going to be in Revelation 13. Now, it's going to get dark, okay? 12, 13, all the way to Revelation 20. There's not a lot of light yet. I mean, we're being shown the darkness of the world so that when we get to Revelation 21 and 22, the end is glorious, the way he rescued us. But your rescue can start right now. And I want to pray for those of you watching online, for those of you in the room. I want to pray for two things today. I want to pray that the Lord would begin to stir our heart back to be Great Commission people, to go into all the world and to tell people the good news, to make disciples. And there are some of you that are ready to say yes. So I want to pray for all of us this morning. Father in heaven, we say yes to the Great Commission. We say yes to being your witnesses. Lord, our hearts are stirred this morning to go into all the world and to preach to bring good news. Lord, our hearts are stirred this morning to go and to proclaim and make disciples by the power of your Spirit. Father in heaven, I pray in this room right now for those watching online, for those that are ready to say yes, those ready to make a decision to follow Christ. Just like Mehmet, Lord, their hearts may be angry, they may be agitated, but Lord, it's only by the work of the Spirit that people's hearts can be miraculously changed. So I'm asking right now for the Holy Spirit to come into the room and for everyone watching online, for the Holy Spirit to begin to wrestle with us and change us and bring us to a place of grace and forgiveness. If you're here today and you're ready to say yes, this is a simple prayer. You can pray it in any way you like, but this is a prayer that I've prayed with people for years and years and years. Father in heaven, I'm a sinner that cannot save myself. I can't fix myself. I can't save myself. I need help. I need a Savior. And I choose today to follow Jesus. I choose today to say yes to Christ. I pray you be Lord of my life, King of my life, in charge of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and lead me in the paths of righteousness every day for your sake. And I pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Stand with me this morning. We're going to prepare our hearts now to come to the table of the Lord. If there's something today that has clouded your thinking, maybe there's a group of people that you're aggravated with right now, can you ask the Lord just to cleanse your heart, to make us a people of overwhelming kindness, to cause us to be a people of peace? We don't have to give up any of our convictions to be kind. Do you know that? You don't have to surrender any of your convictions to be kind. You can be kind and have strong convictions. It's possible. And so, Lord, we're going to prepare our hearts now to come to the table of the Lord. And we declare right now in Jesus' name, Jesus, you are the center of it all. Let's sing this song together.
Let's sing it together. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all, at the center of it all. Let's pray this together. Jesus, be the center of my life. Oh, Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, nothing else matters. Treasure, Lord, you're the treasure, Lord. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you, and from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about. We'll lift that up with us. From my heart to the heavens, sing it to him. Jesus, oh, Jesus, you're everything to us. You're everything to us. Center of your church, and every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Sing his name with us. Jesus, we sing. Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We're singing Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We're singing Jesus. Jesus. Would you take your communion elements and be prepared to receive? As you're getting those ready, think about the scriptures we read today. Ezekiel chapter 3. Take the scroll and eat it. And then Jesus comes to John in Revelation chapter 11 and 12, 10, 11. Take the scroll and eat it. In the center of this story, we have Jesus coming and gathering around the table with his people. And he looks them in the eyes. He says, take it and eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. And what happens when we do this is we start to take in the way of meekness and the way of mercy and the way of kindness and the way of love. And it gets metabolized into us and sends us out in strength to give meekness and mercy and kindness and love to the world. None of us get out of this take and eat kind of interaction with Jesus. So today, as we stand in his presence, Jesus looks across the table at you. He says, take it and eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. You may receive from Jesus today. On that same night, Jesus took the cup of wine. He said, this cup is the new covenant given in my blood, and it's given for the remission of your sins. And as often as you do this for the remembrance of me. Take forgiveness into you so that you can give forgiveness away. So today, your sins are forgiven. Jesus is for you. He's not against you. And as you receive forgiveness, he's going to give you power to go give forgiveness to the world. You may receive the cup from Jesus. Let's sing. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be. Come on, church, lift it up.
It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Maybe some of you want to lift your hands today. Come on. Hear us, Jesus.
Jesus be.
Make us your people, Lord.
It's all about you.
Make us your people afresh.
Yes, it's all about you.
Church, would you open your hands today? I want to pray blessing over you. We've witnessed miracles here today, people giving their lives to Jesus. We've heard the scriptures. We've received the scroll today. We've received the broken body and the shed blood. And now I pray as you go, may the Lord our God bless you and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord our God lift his bright, smiling countenance upon you and grant you and all of your people peace. And we pray these things today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Can we celebrate what God has done in this place today? What a day in the house of the Lord. Thanks so much for coming to church today. Go from here today in God's grace and peace. Much love.